In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, our brother Paul tells us that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. During the course of our pilgrimage, Anita and I have often proved that the Scriptures do bring patience and comfort to us. Like most Christians, we have times of discouragement, times when things don't go exactly the way that we had anticipated they might go, although we know that they are working out the sovereign plan of a loving Heavenly Father. When we do find ourselves down, it's often the Scriptures, and particularly the Old Testament Scriptures, that bring us patience and comfort. Now, just as a physician can administer a drug in many different ways, some being more effective than others, we found that the patience and comfort of the Scriptures are often particularly effective when they're embodied in song. I do not mean to say that we should sing songs to those who are of a heavy heart. Proverbs warns us that that approach is not productive. No, these little bits of Scripture packaged up in song are not to be sung to those who are downhearted, but we found them valuable to sing when we ourselves are downhearted. Something about the way the Lord has constructed us that makes it almost impossible for us to maintain a discouraged attitude and at the same time be singing the praises of our great God. So as the Lord has given us little tunes for various encouraging Old Testament passages, we frequently encourage one another with these. We'll say, "Have you sung your song today?" If there's a moment of discouragement together, we may pause and sing through a few verses of Scripture, and we find that these greatly encourage us. As we talk with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're reminded that others also have times when encouragement is necessary, and in that spirit we'd like to share with you these bits of Scripture set to music that you, along with us, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. In each case, I'll read the passage, say a few words about it, and then sing it to you so that you might learn to sing it to yourself, and thus derive this patience and comfort at times when the Spirit of God needs to minister to you in a special way. Our first text is Micah chapter 7, verses 18 through 20, the last three verses of the Old Testament prophet Micah. Micah told his people, "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob, and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old." You know, one of the reasons so many people are discouraged in the world around us, I think, is that they don't know the forgiveness of sins that comes in Jesus Christ. Their hearts are burdened down with guilt, burden of sin and iniquity, and that leads to discouragement. It has to. Because deep down inside each one of us, we know that there's a God, and if we're facing his judgment and we don't have the blood of Jesus Christ to deliver us from that judgment, it's a terrible thing. What's tragic is that many times as believers we find ourselves trying to carry that same load of sin that the Lord Jesus came to take away from us. The accuser loves to needle us with this. He loves to point to our sins and our failings and rebuke us, try to scare us, say, "You haven't really been forgiven. See, that guilt proves it." At times like that, we need to remember that our God delights in mercy. There's no other God like him, a God who pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression, not of people at large, because we know that he is holy and just and will judge, but for those of us who are the remnant of his heritage, those of us who have been redeemed through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be sure that our transgressions will not be remembered against us. And when we're discouraged because we're feeling guilty, if we've confessed our sins, we need to rejoice that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, that he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will perform the faithful promise that he made to Abraham and to the fathers and is fulfilled to us. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? The next song is Psalm 131, Psalm 131, a song of degrees of David. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Micah reminded us that not recognizing God's forgiveness for sin is often a cause for discouragement or depression. In Psalm 131, David addresses another misconception that can give us difficulty in our Christian lives, and that is the problem of misplaced expectations. Expecting the kind of life other than the one that the Lord has prepared for his children. The first verse of the psalm, we hear the psalmist confessing, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. It's important as Christians that we be content with what the Lord has given to us. The world around us says, reach for the stars, go for the gold, set your expectations on high things. Well, we should strive to do whatever our hand finds to do with all our might, but if we make our happiness depend upon fulfilling some fleshly goal, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. The entire book of Ecclesiastes teaches against this kind of false expectation, and here David confesses to the Lord what we need to remind ourselves of over and over again. Lord, I'm not exercising myself in great matters. I'm not reaching for things too high for me. My place as your child is to be content with what you've given to me and to do the very, very best I can with what you have given me without allowing the flesh to puff up my heart, to make it haughty, or to set my eyes on lofty, fleshly pinnacles that would indeed bring the adulation of men, but not bring satisfaction to your heart. So that's one kind of misplaced expectation that we can have, expectation of status and success measured by the world's standards rather than the Lord's. The second verse reminds us of another kind of misplaced expectation. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. A newborn baby expects to be as completely comfortable after birth as it was during the time of its growth before it was born. Bright lights, rough textures, variations of heat and cold, these are all new to it, and it finds them disturbing. Doesn't understand that they're part of this big, wonderful world into which it's been born. And sometimes it can be upset by very little things, very trivial things. But as it grows older, in particular after it becomes weaned, it's learned to expect the kinds of ups and downs and backs and forths that there are in life, and it realizes that these, although they may be momentarily unpleasant, are part of a greater good. In the same way, the Lord has to develop us after our spiritual birth to the point that we are weaned and that we can cope with the difficulties in life around us. In John 16, verse 33, the Lord Jesus told his disciples before his crucifixion, "In the world you shall have tribulation." Expect it. It's coming. It's part of what life is like in the big city. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22, Paul and Barnabas, at the end of their first missionary journey, say to the leaders of the churches that they had founded, "We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." This is necessary. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Paul writes to the Thessalonians in his first epistle, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, "No man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know." And when the risen Christ speaks to the church at Smyrna, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, he reminds them, "You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." As little babies need to be weaned and need to learn to deal with the ups and downs and the difficulties of everyday life, so we as Christians, after our new birth, need to come to that point of Christian maturity where we recognize that difficulties and tribulations don't mean that God has forgotten us. They're simply part of life in this world, being in the world but not of it, representing him, bearing witness to a world that has rejected him, and in many cases seeing people come to trust in him, come to salvation, because we have been faithful even in the midst of tribulation and difficulty. So Psalm 131 reminds us to manage our expectations, not to expect the kind of worldly success that people around us are clamoring for, at the same time not to expect the kind of perpetual comfort that will be indeed our portion once we do join the Lord. Instead of misplaced expectations, we should do what the third verse of the psalm exhorts us to do. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Let Israel hope in the Lord.
The next song is from Psalm 116, verses 7, 8, and 9. Psalm 116, verses 7, 8, and 9. The psalmist writes, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul.
for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I was specially encouraged by verse 7, because the psalmist is talking to himself here. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, he says. The Lord's enabled him to perceive in his mind that the attitude of his soul is not what it ought to be. And so he speaks to his soul, like the owner of a dog telling his pet, get back in your house. Get down. Behave. You're not behaving. Do what you're supposed to. Here the psalmist recognizes that his soul, in its discouragement, in its unrest, in its disturbance, is not behaving as it ought to. And he rebukes it. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Then he gives the reason. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. And it's true, isn't it, that when we're discouraged, we're not taking account of all the wonderful things the Lord has done for us. We're allowing our perception of what's missing to overshadow the perception God wants us to have of his rich blessings that he's already given toward us. So as we deliberately focus our attention on his blessings, we can say to our soul, get down, quiet down, it's okay. Return to your rest, get back in your house. Three blessings in particular in verse 8. Thou hast delivered my soul from death. He has redeemed us through the blood of his own Son, the Lord Jesus. He's delivered our eyes from tears. He has spared us many, many sorrows that the world around us encounters because of their disobedience to his law and the fact that then they reap what they sow. And he delivers our feet from falling. Day after day he guards us from temptation and prevents us from falling into difficulty, falling into sin, falling into things that would be displeasing to him. In light of his bountiful dealings with us, we should encourage ourselves to return to our rest, calm down, not be worried, and resolve to walk before the Lord in the land of the living, as verse 9 tells us. Psalm 116, verses 7 through 9.
Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered mine eyes from tears, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my feet from falling, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully. bountifully with thee.
Well, there are some of our remedies for discouragement and downheartedness. Micah chapter 7, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, to remind us of our forgiveness that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 131, to remind us to manage our expectations. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. I've comforted myself like a weaned child. And then Psalm 116, when my soul lacks rest, when it's misbehaving itself, I can tell it to quiet down. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. I'd like to close with one little chorus that's not at all original. We sang it when I was a boy in a number of different churches, but I think it's one that we can also use to encourage ourselves. It's not based on any single scripture, but it certainly reflects the sentiment of these and many other passages of scripture in exhorting us to be cheerful, to rejoice in what the Lord has given to us.
Cheer up, ye saints of God, there's nothing to worry about, nothing to make you feel afraid, nothing to make you doubt. Remember, Jesus never fails, so why not trust him and shout? You'll be sorry you worried at all tomorrow morning. Cheer up, ye saints of God, there's nothing to worry about, nothing to make you feel afraid, nothing to make you doubt. Remember, Jesus never fails, so why not trust him and shout? You'll be sorry you worried at all tomorrow morning.